Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
We give ourselves to you afresh this morning. It's the first day of the week. And Father, we pray that our worship and our time of praise would be sincere, would be genuine. Father, that we wouldn't be sitting here conflicted, going through motions, but we would genuinely surrender ourselves to you for this time and give you this moment. Not that you don't own every moment. You really do, but we want this to stand out special. This is Christ Community Church saying we love you, Lord, because you gave your life for us. And so help us. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's worship together this morning.
Oh man, I'm here in the rhythm section. I don't know if I can do like y'all do. Amen.
All right, we have now entered the crowd participation portion of our worship part. That's well the crowd participation portion of our worship. All right, so this right here, we're going to ask a question, and I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all what the answer is. This is against everything I stand for as a teacher, but I'm going to give you the answer. And it's per typical, when a teacher gives the answer, you're going to try to get it wrong. The answer to this question is, the first question, do you feel the world is broken? You say, we do. So let's try that. Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
All right, and then it asks a longer question. The answer is still,
we do.
All right, the next question, here's what the answer is. Are you ready?
Ready.
Yeah. This bodes well for us. John is the one who's ready.
Hey, all right, so that's why I sit in the front of the class.
He does. So Does the
Not as easy as it looks.
Is all creation groaning? It is.
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Then the longer question, the answer is?
He does.
The third question, I got ahead of myself, is he does. So does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does
the Spirit move among us?
He does.
A lot longer question.
He does.
I think we can do this.
Woo! He does. Y'all need to sit in the front of the class. You get the answers better.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
Know that our dark won't stop the light from getting through.
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all anew?
We do. We do. Ba bum bum bum.
Is all creation groaning? It is.
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good and we remind ourselves of this?
It is. We had to think about it. Yeah.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave,
He's taken the Lamb who died to rest in the grave.
Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
Is he worthy of this? He is. Ready?
Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And is Jesus
our Messiah?
Oh, forever you'll be loved.
He does.
Does our God stand well there with us?
He does.
He is worthy.
He is worthy.
So there's a job in heaven that only certain beings have. I say beings because these are different.
Beings, human beings.
Look at Revelation 4, starting in the middle of verse 6. It says, around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. Like, that's different, right? But listen to what they do. It says, and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is.
Amen.
And 24 hours a day in eternity. I don't know that there are days in eternity, but for
or
all
hours.
The hours and times that there are in timelessness, over and over and over, they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. And then you have these elders with these crowns that they cast in the feet of Jesus. And verse 11 says, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power.
Yes.
For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. We might not 24 hours a day say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We might not have crowns to lay before the throne and say, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. But we have the awesome privilege this morning to sing the same words, the same song that is sung in heaven and continues.
And is to come.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. It is such an awesome thing to know that God has bestowed on him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue
shall confess.
To the glory of God the Father, that he is.
Amen.
Now this gospel truth of love shall not.
This should be on now. It helps when I turn it on. That's what I found in my vast experience with electronic things. If you turn them on, they work better. There's no guarantee that they will work. They just work better. All right. There's crowding me down here this morning, so I moved up here. But it's always good to get a little change of perspective. I feel much taller and authoritative up here. So if I start like thundering down things, you just say, "Oh, he's up. He's got his platform. He's got his platform now." We're going to be in John chapter 15, continuing our teaching on Jesus and the promise of the Holy Spirit. Y'all, somewhere in this world, in the church, there is the truth about the Holy Spirit. There's not the complete chaos on one side and the absolute absenteeism on the other side. There is the truth about who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and how we should be looking for the Holy Spirit. Y'all, I'm not much of a fisherman, but I do have a fishing story related to the Holy Spirit, which is pretty cool because like I have not many fishing stories. I was fishing on a lake, and there was debris, and it kept like getting hung up. I had a, excuse me all you fishermen, because I don't know all the terms, but I had a top bait that was cruising along the top of the water. And so I was reeling it in, you know, and it'd get hung up on things, and I'd get excited, and I'd go, and it wouldn't be anything. And I remember praying, "Lord, help me know the difference between a fish and a stick." You know, I need to know. I need to know if I'm going to be out here fishing. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe God answered that prayer, and I caught one of the biggest fish I've caught. It was a big old bass. Hit that, and all of a sudden I reeled that dude in. And then I started thinking, if God can show me the difference between a fish and a stick, I bet you He can show me when the Spirit of God's moving in my life. I bet that the living God can show me the times and the places and the ways that the Spirit of God is moving in my life. When it's not just that I had too much coffee. It's not just when I'm emotional and enthusiastic. It's not just something, you know, that the Spirit of God is moving and I need to be aware of what He's doing in my life. Well, y'all, I believe God does that. And I believe He does it through the Word. Okay, it's not necessarily through my feelings or through the traditions of different churches, but through the Word. So we're going to look at the Word. We're going to look at John 15, and we're going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to start off at the very end. We're going to read the last two verses first. So verses 26 and 27, I believe we find what the purpose of God is, what the purpose of God in sending the Holy Spirit is. This is what they say. John 15, 26 and 27. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning." Let's pray. Father God, I pray that You'd use this word, use this chapter to instruct us on the work of the Holy Spirit, that we might not be those who are carried away, neither will be those who have stowed away what You are doing. But we would walk with You in the power of the Spirit, in the productivity, in the purpose of Your Spirit. Lord, we love You and we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, to summarize these verses, what I believe God's saying in His Word is the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus known. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, y'all, is to make Jesus known. Not to make our churches big, not to make our preaching fancy, not to do any other thing, not to shine light on everybody and everything else, but to make Jesus known. He says, the Helper, the Spirit of truth, who I'm going to send, who proceeds from God, will testify of Me. That's what Jesus said. Furthermore, you're going to testify of Me. How you like that? You've been voluntold. If you belong to Jesus, He's done hooked you up with the Holy Spirit and said, the Spirit's going to testify of Me and so will you. Y'all, the job of the Holy Spirit is our job too. Make Jesus known. But how does that work? How can we tell Him it's a stick or a fish?
You know, we need to know. The rest of this chapter, I think, lays out beautifully ways we can tell how the Holy Spirit is made known and to whom the Holy Spirit is made makes Jesus known to. Wow, is that English right there? Whom Jesus makes known to. Anyways, don't y'all, if y'all don't say, you know, don't check me on spelling and grammar, and I won't check you on spelling and grammar, okay? We need a little grace. Let's talk about how Jesus is made known by the Holy Spirit and to whom He is made known. First, in that first paragraph, verses 1 through 8, listen to this. It says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, it's a big old long paragraph, but I want you to think about this. He says, I'm the vine and we're the branches, right? Who's the one taking care of the vine and the branches in this paragraph? Who is it that's looking at the vines and the branches? Who is it that's pruning the vine and the branches? Who is it that's cultivating this whole thing? Who is it? God the Father. Can I tell you, first and foremost, and I've missed this, I've missed it, and I missed it bad. But I think first and foremost, when we talk about making Jesus known in this world, the very first audience that's interested is God the Father. He is looking to see if the life of His Son is continuing in His people. He is looking on with interest. He is looking on and He is looking careful. You ever prune something? They don't let me prune things. Matter of fact, when I try to prune my beard, I end up usually shave-faced. You know what I mean? It just don't work. You got to have some attention. You got to know some things. You got to be able to look and see what's valuable and what's not valuable. What needs to be cut back? You know, what's just a sucker branch that's taking up energy, not producing fruit, and what's this and what's that? Oh, I'm awful at pruning things. We had bushes at our house, but I pruned them. I pruned them really close to the ground. It's not good when I don't prune. I just destroy. But you know what about God our Father? He's looking at the vine. Jesus said He is the vine, we're the branches, and He is looking close. And when I think about making Jesus known, I need to never forget, God the Father's looking. God the Father is watching. God wants to see the life of His Son. You know, God loves you and me. I don't know if y'all know that. But He is crazy, heads over heels, sold out to the life of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And He has sent the Holy Spirit. We always think, well, so we'll be empowered. Yeah, that's fine. So you'll be empowered to do what, though? That you'll be empowered to have the life of Christ living in you. And He's watching. He's interested. He loves it. So often, though, I get thinking about what the world thinks or what I think or about what the church thinks, and I blow right past the fact that there's a vine dresser, the one who takes care of that vine, and He's looking on. Y'all, don't ever mistake that God's interested in your life. He's looking. He's looking to see the life of His Son. We talk about the best life now. We don't need the best life now. We need to be living the Christ life now. Live the Christ life now. He's not looking for success in the way that we usually look at success. He's looking for the life of His Son. Do you reflect Jesus? Are you more and more in the likeness of His Son, Jesus? He knows exactly what His Son would do, would say, where it would go, all those things. And He's looking for that in you and me. And you know what makes Him happy? You know what glorifies Him? I know that's such a weird way to say it. You know what makes Him happy? Hey, I heard this great story, and if you told me it in here, anyway, just know that it's stuck in my brain. It's about this man who was an atheist, and he was an addict. He was an alcoholic, and he was a celebrity. And I can't remember the celebrity's name, because he really ain't important in the whole story. God's the one that's important. But he goes to this rehab place, and he's talking to this old-timer.
this old timer who's in the program forever. And the man said, "What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get on with this life in God?" And the old timer said, "Late at night, when you're ready to go to bed, kneel down beside your bed and you tell God, thank you." The man said, "Okay." The old timer said, "When you get up in the morning, before you do anything else, kneel down beside your bed and just tell him, whatever you want, Lord, use me." And the man said, "Okay, but why do I want to do that?" And the old timer looked at him and said, "Because it makes him happy." Ain't no other reason you need beside that. It just makes them happy. Okay? Y'all, when you and I bear fruit, healthy and abundant fruit, God is glorified. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's the Bible, man. That ain't me. That's God looking for a witness of His Spirit and the life of His Son working through us. It's just that making Him known personally, making Him known to God, making Him known to us. Y'all, God's looking for it. And we ought to show Him. You know why? Because it makes Him happy. Just glorifies God. Have y'all noticed in the Word that God's pretty ticky about His glory? You ever hear that some people would say that the whole rhyme and reason for creation, for redemption, for salvation, for the church, is to bring glory to God. They'd say the whole meaning of man's life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Have you ever heard that? Well, you know how you glorify God? Let the life of His Son work in you so that you do what you couldn't do without Him. Notice He says, you can't bear fruit apart from me. You'd be like a branch not attached to a tree. It just don't happen. But when you're plugged in and you're abiding in Christ, His life is thrown through you. It's flowing through you spiritually. And you bear fruit. We'll talk more about what that fruit is in a minute. Matter of fact, let's get there. He wants to make Christ known collectively in the church. He wants to make Christ known in the church. The Holy Spirit's job is to make Christ known in the church. Listen to these verses. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all the things I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." When Jesus gave initially, when he first gave the command, "Love one another as I have loved you," who was he talking to? He was talking to his disciples. Somebody give her a dollar. I've given her enough dollars. I want somebody else's dollars to do. Yeah, that's what's going on. Man, he gave that command, "Love one another as I love you." He gave it to his disciples. He gave it to the church. He didn't proclaim it out in the world. "Hey, y'all need to love each other like I've loved you." He didn't give that out to the world. He gave it to the church. That's for us. You want to know how the Holy Spirit makes Jesus known? He makes Him known in the church when we love each other. And not just love each other in a natural way. Because there's a natural way to love each other. Jesus taught that. He said, if you just love those who love you back, you're doing the same thing that sinners do. If you just greet those who are greeting you back, if you're just nice to your friends, Hitler was nice to his friends, y'all. The worst people in the world are gracious to the people who are gracious back to them. That ain't nothing. That ain't superhuman. That don't need the Holy Spirit. But when we love each other like Christ loved in a sacrificial way. And we take our needs, our wants, our desires, and we submit them to the good of His body. All of a sudden, now we're doing something that requires the power of God in us. And when we love each other like Christ loves us, and the people outside the church see it, what do they know? Who becomes known to them? What did Jesus say? I'm going to wait. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, and they will know what? That you are my disciples. Y'all get it? When we love each other in the church, we're all worried about loving each other outside the church, and that's cool. Love each other. Love the world. Show acts of love to the world. That's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But can I tell you the primary mission? You love each other inside. Man, in this place, not just in the buildings, but the church ought to love each other across denominational lines, across racial lines, across money lines, across all those lines, and love each other. And the world outside will say, oh my goodness, something is different about them. Something's different about them. But you know, that kind of love, obeying God in that command, takes His power. Doesn't it? You ever try it? You ever try loving somebody regardless of how they felt about you? You ever try loving somebody regardless of how they use you or abuse you or despitefully talk about you or even if you're mad at them? You know what's so weird to me is that in church we can get our panties in a twist, not me personally, but some of us, and to the point where we're walking on eggshells with folks and we're all sensitive and we're all like, y'all, that's junk. That's not Jesus. That's junk. We get all mad and PO'd at each other over slightest things. And we act like, well, I'll still show up. Well, show up, but show up with the Holy Spirit giving you a love that can overcome immature, stupid, silly, grade school offenses. And if you're wondering which kind those are, they're all that kind. You're on the road to heaven. Let the baggage go. Let the grudges go. Let the perceived slights go. And love each other like Jesus loved. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't hold us up to every little thing that we've done and said wrong? It's a, I don't know anymore. I don't know if I love you anymore because I, you know what? You could have looked at me, but you looked somewhere else and you did this and you did that. And you're like, I'm going to slap you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, Jesus, don't do that to us. We ought not do that to each other. It's time to grow up in our love. When we do, guess who people will recognize? Not us, not our denomination, but they're going to recognize Him. They're going to recognize that there's a greater love among us. And I'm going to tell you, love can get pretty footloose and fancy-free and cool when you don't make it dependent on how people treat you and you just decide that you're going to love because you've been loved by Christ and you're full. You're not just full of love either. You're full of other fruits of the Spirit. Love being a fruit of the Spirit, amen? But there's others, including, in this passage, joy. Y'all, when people walk into a church, they ought to be grabbed. They ought to have noticed that there is a joy present. Can I tell you last night, we were down here, we were up in here, we had all these chairs moved out of the way, and we were dancing, and I saw so many smiles. It was a daddy-daughter dance. People had, you know, picking up babies, there were people smiling. Where Keith was doing a dance, like a dance that, like, I don't know, it was like this. It was like, trimming the hedges and all that stuff, and smiling, and y'all, it was just fun. You know, we had a good time. But there ought to be joy in the church. And again, I'm not just talking about the building, but certainly it should include when we're in the building together. There ought to be a joy. Had a blessed time this past Thursday at the Holcomb at Jesus Saves Road, celebrating our first year anniversary. The service started at 6:30, but I bet you there, I don't know what time people got there. They was there before 6, I bet. It's supposed to end at 7:30. I didn't leave until almost 9:30. Because there was just a, you might say, that's just too long for church. For boring, irrelevant, no love, no joy church, I agree with you 100%. If there ain't going to be no joy present, then you ought to stop at the hour, no matter where you're at. be like, oh, okay, bye, break, see you later. Because what difference does it make anyway if you're not filled with joy and the Holy Spirit and love? What in the world are you doing? Just talking to each other and exchanging glances? Who cares about all that mess? But when there's joy in the house, people want to come early. People want to stay late. People make relationships. It actually gives them something of value. Y'all, we have an opportunity as the church to have such a great joy knowing that we're on the road to heaven, that our songs, our sayings, our welcomes, our greetings, everything ought to be filled with a joy. Jesus wasn't bashful about this at all. He said this, I'm going to give you my joy. I'm going to find it right here. Here it is, verse 11. That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now, I'm not going to use this to like try to shame or guilt anybody, including myself. But I tell you, there's times when I'm just sour. There's times when I'm low and I'm blue and I'm... But can I tell you something? If I would let God have His way, I believe this. If I let God have His way, I'd be that way much less. I would experience a joy that is full. Y'all, I don't even know what John Goldwater looks like. I'm full of joy. It scares me, I think, sometimes. Like, what would that even be like? Where would I preach? What would I do? Like how I feel like I'd be like a berserker back in the Viking days, just spinning around in a circle, like going, woo! Be like, I don't know what that is. Be like, it's John. He's full of joy. And like, okay. I don't even know. But I want to find out. And I believe that's part of what, you know, when God's working in His people, there's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's love. There's joy. And the fruit that we give, it lasts. It lasts. Y'all, I've been getting all kind of, it was just my birthday, and I got birthday shoes on. Do you see that? Close. Right there, that's close. And I got some green ones too. You'll see them. Call them my money shoes. Makes me feel rich when I'm walking up in here. And I got some blue ones. So from now on, I'm going to be color coordinated with my shoes. I got blue, whatever. Shauna says this is purple. I saw a maroon, but I've learned long ago that I don't have no color detectors in my eyes. But here's the point. These shoes are going to wear out one day, probably next month. And because I'm heavy and I'm big and my shoes just don't last. It don't matter. You can spend $200 on them or $12, and they're going to last the same amount of time. Just the way it's going to be. But y'all, God intends through the Holy Spirit that in the church there will be some work, some fruit that remains. Y'all, I'm convinced of this. If there's going to be a fruit that remains, it's not going to be a material fruit. It's not going to be the material things that we can pass on to each other. Y'all probably know as well as I do, people can get an inheritance and they can blow through an inheritance like that. All you need to do, I mean, look at the son, the prodigal son. The prodigal son was given an inheritance, and before the next year is up, he's coming back home because he is ready to eat pig food because he done burned through it. All you need to do is have a little itty bitty addiction issue and you'll breeze through any kind of inheritance just like that. And don't matter if it's homes or cars or money. Or a good name, or you can lose all those things. Lickety split. But I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit's working through you, I want you to think about those people who have loved you. When we love each other in the church house, all of a sudden there's an example burned and etched in our mind of a fruit that will last forever. You think of those people who have accepted you. And your life was changed. Think about those people who have shared the gospel with you. And your life was changed. Who were patient with you. Who gathered you up. Think about those kind of fruits and how those things will last. Because even when you go through whatever issues you have in life, their example will still be there. I saw a man do this. He had a priority list. He had five different priorities listed on a piece of paper. He had God at the top. He had family next. He had reputation after that. He had health. And then he had his job and money. He said these were his priorities. And he started up at family. And he said, you know what? I went through a horrible divorce. Catastrophic. Changed everything in my life. I lost my family. He drew a line through it. He said, but I still had God. And then he went to his reputation. And he talked about how he had got caught in a lie. And how it cost a lot of money. And though before then he had been known as a man of integrity, he now had this dark spot on his reputation. He crossed the line through his reputation. No longer was known as a man of integrity. Then he talked about his health, and he had been in a catastrophic work accident. And he'd been horribly disfigured. He's still disfigured to this day. And he said, my health was gone, but God was still there. He said, then, sometime later, he got fired. Didn't have a job to make it up. His job, his money, and for this is a man with thinking, who am I and what's my purpose in this life? He said, my job and my money was gone. But I still had God. I want to ask you today, in the things that you have that you hope to pass on, all those things that you can lose, somebody else could lose them too if you pass them on to them. Money, jobs, health, reputation, name, family. But if you will pass on God through the power of the Holy Spirit, if you will pass on love and joy and peace and these things that come from above, those things will stick through the worst problems in life. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what God's doing in the church. And when people walk into a place like this, where people are gathered in the name of Jesus, they ought to feel a love, they ought to feel a joy, and they ought to feel that there's something substantial about what it is God's doing here. Do y'all sense that? That's how we know Jesus is being made known in the church. Lastly, culturally, making Christ known culturally. Listen to these verses, 18 through 25. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates my father, he who hates me, hates my father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now they have seen and also hated both me and my father. But this has happened that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Y'all, we live in maybe one of the strangest places in the world. And I know that's hard for y'all to believe. But you try to find another place in the world with such a concentrated body of believers where the peer pressure is for people to know the Lord and to go to church. And I'm going to promise you, those kind of pockets in this world are growing slim to none. And a place where the government and all those things at least is not hindering, has in the past been helpful to establishing Christian morals and values in the church. But that's not the world I grew up in. That's not where I grew up. I was in this same country. When I was 19 years old, I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I praise God for my family who received me, although they thought it was strange that I didn't do all the things with them that I used to do. But I had friends who received Christ. And when they received Christ, they were looked on with suspicion. They were looked on with some hostility from their family. And more than one, but one in particular girl that I knew, a friend, when she got baptized, she was also kicked out of her home for getting baptized. She was told, if you get baptized, you won't be able to live here. And she chose to follow. Yo, that was in the United States of America. Can you imagine coming to know Christ in Saudi Arabia? Can you imagine coming to know Christ like thousands of people are in communist China? Can you imagine coming to know Christ in the largest Islamic country in the world, which would be Indonesia? I have a friend of mine I went to seminary with. They didn't let them graduate Bible school until they got a new church started in a Muslim neighborhood in Indonesia. I promise I would have been like, yeah, I think I can be just a truck driver. That'd be fine with me. I'll get on my CB radio and talk to people. His daddy's church was burnt down. I had a professor of mine who grew up in Romania under the communist regime of a guy, Ceausescu, for y'all historians. And his brother's church was bulldozed down. They believed that the government poisoned and killed his mom, who died mysteriously, and he and his family ran to the United States for refuge. This is a weird place in the world we live in where people are applauded and we get to celebrate. Praise God for it, y'all. Don't take it for granted. Do you know that at one time in the history of this country, every great revival and every great movement of God started in New York? They did. That's where you think historic Christianity comes from in this country. It wasn't born in Mississippi. People from New York came to Mississippi as missionaries. Can you believe that? Doesn't that seem weird? Because now they say New York is about as unreached as anywhere else in the world. They call it a burned over district, where so many different revivals and things have started that it's almost like a piece of wood that's been burned over so much that it won't catch fire anymore. It's hardened. What do you think might happen here? If we're not very clear about being culturally relevant and making Christ known, one day, if the Lord tarries, they'll probably talk about it and they say, well, that part of the country used to be called the Bible Belt. It used to be a place where you could, man, I'm telling you, if I had a better arm, there's probably some people, my son probably could, throw a rock from this church to the next church and hit it. They can't, but they might could come close. If they're standing at that church, they certainly could probably throw a rock and hit the next church. And if they're standing at that church, they could throw a rock and hit the next church, couldn't they? I mean, literally. That is not promised to us. We need to learn what the Holy Spirit wants to do to make Jesus known culturally so that we can follow His lead, so we can be a part of His plan. You're not promised to always have this unique enclave of Christians. It's not like this in the rest of this country, and it's not like this in the rest of this world. So what do we need to do? We need to be able to persevere. We need to persevere. So when the world says, that's not right, and the world says, you got to go another way, you got to choose, we don't succumb to the pressure. We don't capitulate to the morals of this world or the stance of this world. Especially, I want to talk about in one area especially. Y'all, we need to persevere. When this world tries to get us to accept that Christ is like every other religious leader, well, you know, it's Christ for you and it's Muhammad for them and it's Allah for them, it's Hindu for him or Vishnu or I can't even think of all the names, right? We need to say, no, I won't disrespect who you are and what you believe in, but I will not ever, Lord Jesus Christ, to be with everybody else. There is no one like Jesus, not any. And if we receive hate and persecution for that in this world, so be it. But don't ever back away from Christ being the one and only. Either Jesus is a truth teller or He's not. And He said this, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's either true or it's not. It's a hard statement. Y'all, we need to never... You know, if people say, you're just being a bigot, you're just being xenophobic, whatever. Man, I was like, I got no problem with xenos. Shoot. I make my copies on a xeno copier right back there. Use one all the time. Love me some xenos. Xenophobic means being afraid of strangers, which is what they believe that Christians are when we hold fast to Jesus and the Word of God being the only way. They say, you're just afraid of different things. You're just afraid of strange things. You can think what you want. I'm afraid to walk away from Jesus, period. There is no one like Him, and I'm going to stick with Him. Y'all, even if we have to endure some name-calling, identify yourself with Jesus. He identified Himself with us. How did He do that? How did Jesus identify Himself with us? First, He incarnated. He came and He walked a mile in our shoes. He knows what it's like to be us and to live in this world. Secondly, He identified with our sin. He took it, our sin on Himself. Not His sin, but our sin on Himself. And thirdly, He related to us in mortality. The King of life, the Prince of life. He died. He died. He died for you and I. He knows everything you and I are going to go through. Praise God, it didn't end there. Ain't nobody like Jesus. He rose. He rose. And we sing because He rose. And we stick with Him because He rose. And we say, He chose us out of this world to be identified with Him. And if I remember back to the time when I was saved, I remember this. There is no higher privilege than that Christ chose me to be one of His. He didn't do it because of my money. Didn't do it because of my abilities. Man, I couldn't get chose. I'm one of the least of the Division I football teams. I was 116 Division I football teams. Mine was ranked 113. And I was barely scout team. Man, I couldn't be chose on that. And the Son of God chose me to be on His team. I promise you, there's no greater privilege and honor than to be chose by Him on His team. Be on His team and never back away from it, regardless of what people say. In the culture, they might hate you, but they're going to know. They're going to know they've been with Jesus. Last thing we can do to see the work of the Holy Spirit in making Jesus known is just getting His Word out. Remember His Word and speak His Word in this culture. We need to remember His Word and speak this word, His Word in this culture. You know, we come together every week to hear, and y'all are just gracious to sit and listen to me anyway, but y'all come and hear the Word sung and by a wonderful band and then the Word preached. And y'all are just gracious in that. But when the Word of God talks about how the Holy Spirit moves in the culture, He says, speak the Word to them. Remember the Word I spoke to you. We know that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Last week we looked at it over in John chapter 14 where it says, He will teach you all things and He will bring to remembrance all the things I said to you. So in John 15, when Jesus says, remember the Word I spoke to you, He's counting on the Holy Spirit to bring back to our remembrance His Word. And then He says, if they kept My Word, they'll keep your Word too. Which we get that, which means this. We need to be speaking the Word to them. And if they say, I hate you because of it, bear the hate. But what if you speak the Word at work or at home or at school or wherever you find yourself and somebody says, I want to know more about that. I want to know more about that. This Sunday, this Wednesday, we had a young man come to church. He had a question about sin, a specific sin. He said, what about these people and how they sin? He's talking to Jamie. And Jamie said, well, you reckon that sin's any worse than these kind of sins? And the young man kind of said, Jamie said, let me go get a Bible. He got a Bible out and they started looking. And after they got done looking, you know what that young man said? What do I got to do to be saved? He got saved here because somebody took the time to take the Word and just share it with them. Y'all, that's what we're called to do. Sometimes they might hate you, but sometimes they might ask, what do I got to do to be saved? So let me summarize this. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus known. First and foremost, He's making Jesus known, that Christ life, known to the Father. The Father is looking, He's pruning, He's watching, He's cultivating the life of Christ in you and I. So we need to know that. Secondly, He's showing Christ, He's making Christ known in the church. Y'all, when people come in here, they ought to be amazed, not at our talent, not at our unfinished ceiling that is just kind of retro warehouse cool, not at our birthday shoes. They ought to be amazed at the fact that we love each other and that we're full of joy. That is proof of the Spirit working among us. And lastly, the Holy Spirit's working to make Jesus known in the world. And He does that through our perseverance, our patience, and our deliberate effort to identify with Jesus and share the Word. That's how He works. That's what Jesus taught us. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to be here and to share Your Word. And to praise You. And right now, Lord, I pray that
you would move, and if there's anybody who needs to make any kind of decision, that you would help them, Lord. Be with them. Guide them. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. Father, is anybody in here who's wondering about being saved, wondering about the work of the Holy Spirit, wondering about anything you got the answers to? I pray they'd do business with you right now during this song. I pray that we'd all been listening during this message and would say, Lord, show me the difference between the Holy Spirit and a stick so that I know what's going on, between the Holy Spirit and my enthusiasm, my emotions, the coffee I drank, the pizza I ate late at night, whatever it might be. Show me that You're working. And Father, glorify Yourself in me, in our church, and in this place. And Lord, we love You. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. It's Your time. You got to do business with God. Do business with God. Why would you leave a safe place when you can do business with God right now? If you need my help, I'll be up here and I'll pray with you.
Swallowed by the pain of your
Y'all remember that God's always available. God's always willing to hear. The Holy Spirit's always willing to work and to show Christ to us, not just using us to show Christ to others, but to show and remind us how much we're loved and appreciated by Christ. If the ushers come forward to take the morning offering, and as they do, I'm going to pray for us. Lord, thank you for this offering. Thank you for the opportunity again that we have to be here and just worship together. Help us, Lord, to become that church, that place where the love of God and the joy of the Lord are strong. And we love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. Son of God hanging on the hill, hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting, crucify, good. The dirty shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me clean. Then I
praise God for our band. Anyways, they're just wonderful. I think that's it. Know we've kept you. Love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Break.